ẹni bẹ́ẹ̀ ni.
Let me hear you say it loud and clear.
Ẹ̀dùnkọ́kọ́ sọ lókoro.
That every one of you, from now on, you will begin to excel.
Amen.
Who is the one fellow that you will stand beside him or her and say, you are the one who will get my attention?
Anointing allows you to enter into overflowing blessings.
Redemption Way.
The Lord is going to surprise someone here tonight.
Join Pastor E.A. Adeboye and other men of God every first Friday of the month as they lead multitudes of worshippers to the presence of God in the monthly Holy Ghost service at the Redemption Camp, Kilometer 46, Lagos Ibadan Expressway, from 6:30 p.m. to dawn.
There is a Redeemed Christian Church of God very close to you. Join them for a life-changing experience in worship. You're watching Redemption Way.
Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. When we talk about praise, praise can be a garment. It is possible to praise God occasionally. But there might be one or two people here tonight who will say, from now on a constant basis, anytime you see me, you see praise. Psalm 34 verse 1, which he had already quoted, that's why I said he had preached my sermon. We saw someone who was wearing praise as a garment. Psalm 34 verse 1, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise, not complaint. His praise, not murmuring. His praise shall be continually where? In my mouth. Now, like every garment, the choice on whether to wear it or not is yours. But David said in Psalm 108, verse 1 to 3, Psalm 108, verse 1 to 3, he said, my heart is fixed. Oh Lord, my heart is fixed. I will praise the Lord. In other words, there's nothing is going to change this garment that I'm putting on. I'm going to praise God forever. One thing you need to note straight away is that there is a link between the garment of praise and irreversible blessing. Whenever God finds someone who says, I will praise you at all times, the Almighty God will turn around and say, I will bless you at all times. When David said, my heart is fixed, O Lord, my heart is fixed, I will praise you, God said, David, listen to me. Except there is no longer day and night, unless day and night will cease, then will my covenant with you cease. In other words, whenever God finds someone who says, I will wear a garment of praise, the Almighty God will turn around and say, I will give you something to praise me about. Is there anyone here today ready to wear a garment of praise? Let me hear you shout hallelujah. But we can also look at it from another point of view. When you receive a miracle from God, it is automatic that you want to praise Him. If you now discover that the miracles will be permanent, it should be easy for you also to praise Him permanently. In other words, when we go through the scriptures, and I will just touch a few examples, you will discover that those who praise God nonstop are those who receive from God an irreversible blessing. For example, when David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, the Almighty God did something for him too that will ensure that the praising that he will be praising him will be forever. He picked him from the bush and turned him to a king. And he said to him, you will be a king forever. When the Almighty God decides to visit someone here tonight, He is going to give him a miracle that will last forever. So that anytime you remember what He has done for you tonight, there is nothing else you can do other than jump on your feet and begin to praise Him. That is going to happen right now in Jesus' name. I have a driver at home. Once upon a time, I used to drive myself. When I used to drive myself, I keep on praising God all the way through. Now, occasionally, my driver would look back when I suddenly say, thank you, Jesus. And he would look back, what has God done again? But it is because I remember something new, something fresh that He has done for me. There is somebody here today for the rest of your life. When you are sleeping, you will say, thank you, Jesus. When you are waking up, you will say, thank you, Jesus. When you are about to eat, you will say, thank you, Jesus. When you are sitting down, you will say, thank you, Jesus. When you are traveling, you will say, thank you, Jesus. When you return, you will say, thank you, Jesus. If you are the one, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Now, let's take some examples very quickly. Let's take the example of the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14. Let's look at verses 15 and 16. You can read it from the very beginning to the end. It's okay. It's a story you know very well. The children of Israel thought that at long last they have escaped from Pharaoh. But then they looked back and suddenly they saw Pharaoh was coming with his army, about to take them back into bondage. See, their fathers were in bondage, grandfather in bondage, great-grandfather in bondage, and the children thought that they were free. But then they looked back and they saw that the very people who had their great-great-great-grandfather in bondage were coming after them to take them back into bondage. And then God spoke. God will speak to somebody tonight. He said to Moses, Why are you crying to me? Just tell the children of Israel to move forward. God spoke. And the people began to move forward. And then God moved. So God spoke. And then God moved as Moses raised his hand. As he raised his hand, suddenly, oh, thank you, Father. The Lord asked me to raise my hand towards you, and that even as I do so, the Holy Spirit will begin to move. And so I just want to wave my hand to every one of you, and I command every Red Sea before you to part way right now. Why don't you put your hands together for the Almighty God? That's a new one. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, so Moses lifted up his hand, and the wind began to blow, and before you knew it, there was a way where there was no way before. And for someone listening to me today, even though it appears that all your ways are already blocked, a way will open right now. And then you know the rest of the story. The Egyptians followed the children of Israel into the midst of the sea, and God decided to fight for his people. He troubled their chariots. When they tried to escape, he drowned them. The children of Israel look back by the time you get to verse 28, and they saw that all the enemies that they had seen before had been completely wiped out. And they sang a new song. If you read Exodus 15 from verse 1 to 11, Exodus 15 verse 1 to 11, did you see a song there? A song that was composed impromptu. They were not planning to sing. They didn't have a rehearsal. But God performed a miracle so big that they began to sing immediately. I prophesy to someone here today, before the sun rises tomorrow, you will sing a new song. When a man or a woman discovers that a problem that had been in the family for generations disappeared in the twinkling of an eye, that fellow we wear a garment of praise. You probably remember the story, but those of you who are new, you need to hear the story, of a lady who came to us and said, "Sir, pray for me." She was 33 years old, and she was still bedwetting. And I said, "That's no problem. All you needed is a new bladder." Oh, thank you, Father. I knew it's going to be a glorious night. But it seems as if every word I speak now is sending a word. Because you say there's someone here too who is bedwetting. And God asked me to tell you, you have received a brand new bladder. And so this lady came and I said, "What you needed is a new bladder. Let's pray for a new bladder." And she said, "Before you pray, sir," she said her mother was also a bedwetter. And the grandmother was also a bedwetter. And that every girl in the family bedwet. I said, this is not a case of an ordinary bladder. There is a curse in the family. And I told her, "You give your life to Jesus, we pray a simple prayer. I know someone who can cancel any curse. And the bedwetting will stop." I didn't have to preach long. She gave her life to Jesus. We prayed a simple prayer, and she left. The following morning, she came, trembling with joy, and said, for the first time in 33 years, she woke up and the bed was dry. I decree tonight, any curse that may remain in your generation, I decree that they be broken in Jesus' name. Now, so she went and brought all her sisters. They all gave their life to Jesus. And bedwetting problem ended. Now you can understand when you see somebody like that in church, praising God, her praise will be different from the one who had never received a miracle from God. When anytime it is time to praise God and I look at the congregation, I can always pick out those who have received something great from God. There are some people who are in the church, God has not really done anything for them. So when others are dancing, they sit down and they look at us and say, what's happening? When you see somebody like me singing and dancing and praising God, when you see me going everywhere with my tambourine, because people have asked, why do you go everywhere with your tambourine? Because I don't know when next I want to play, I want to dance, I want to sing to God, I want to be prepared. Because I know what God has done for me. I know where I was coming from. I know a generational curse in my family that God broke after I became a Christian. Because in my family, before I became born again, any woman who gave birth to a baby boy must not taste oil or salt for 9 days, or else the baby will die. If it's a baby girl, it must be for 7 days. And I'm telling you, if a woman dared in secret, tasted a little salt or a little oil just to check, the baby would die mysteriously because there was a curse in my family line. Then I became born again. And I knew that Jesus had delivered me from the curse of the law. And now in my family, they can eat anything they want when they want. Why don't you help me shout hallelujah? The first fellow to shout hallelujah here is Pastor James, the chairman, because he knows what I was talking about. He came from my family line. So he knew that I was speaking the truth. I decree once again, if there is any curse in your family line that is causing you sorrow, that is hindering your progress, that is hindering your fruitfulness, I decree that it be canceled right now in Jesus' name. Now, let's take another example. Let's take the example of Hannah. When you read 1 Samuel chapter 1, you can read the whole chapter. You see a woman who was in bitterness of soul because she was barren. And she wasn't just barren. There was someone else in the home, another wife in the family who was very fruitful. And she was giving this woman a tough time. Then one day, God spoke in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10 to 17. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10 to 17. The Almighty God spoke to this woman and said, all right, stop weeping. The Almighty God had heard your cry. The answer will come. And then God moved. And before you knew it, by the time you read verses 19 and 20, the Bible had visited Hannah and she had become fruitful. And then God didn't stop there. In order to make sure that there is a permanent separation between Hannah and barrenness, by the time you get to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 20 to 21, 1 Samuel 2, verse 20 to 21, a woman that they said will never have a child already got Samuel and 5 additional ones. I decree to all of you who are considered barren here tonight, in the name that's above every other name, by next year convention, you will come with your own children. So you can then understand that Hannah sang a song to God. It is from here, from Hannah, that we have the song, "There's none holy as the Lord." If she didn't want to sing, the woman who had always been alone at the table will now turn to the right and see a child. Turn to the left, another child. And then one child is crying there. Hey, he's taking my toy. Hey, mommy, do that. I pray for those of you whose house had been silent because there are no children there. In the name that's above every other name, your home will be full of sound of children. I'm sure many of you probably know the testimony. You probably have had the testimony by now of a lady who was barren. The doctor said there's nothing they could do for her. And then we had this special Holy Ghost service every April. And a neighbor said, "Woman, let's go. There's a special Holy Ghost service in April for children." And she said, "How can you say that one to me? Are you mocking me? Don't you know I don't have a child?" And the friend said, "Come, you never can tell. God may speak a word." And so, okay, we'll come. And she came. And the Almighty God spoke, as he's speaking to someone now too, that, "Oh, you are here. Say, oh God, how I wish I have children." And God said, "When you come next time, next year, you will come with your own children." And the woman said, "Ah, amen, that must be me." Well, that month she became pregnant. And 9 months later, the baby came. And, you know, because the family was rich, they didn't want to take chances with the pregnancy. So she went to Britain to deliver. And as her friend was coming to the Holy Ghost service, he got a phone call. "Your friend has delivered in London." He said, "Ah, praise the Lord." And you know the way we ask in Africa, male or female? And they answered, they said, "Both." "Oh, that means a set of twins?" They said, "No." "Ah, three?" "No." "Ah, four?" "No." "How many?" "Five." "Three boys and two girls." I prophesy to every barren woman here, when you come next year in Jesus' name, your right hand will be carrying a baby, your left hand will be carrying a baby, and somebody may help you carry another one. If you receive that, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Oh, thank you, my Father, my God. The Lord said there is someone here that each time we raise our hand over our head to wave, you wish you can raise your hand also. The Lord asked me to tell you, you can raise your hand now. Oh, the Lord said there is someone here. He said, "The family call you the empty hand." He asked me to tell you, I will surprise them. Oh, thank you, Father. The Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said, "I should inform you, your healing will be total. And there will be no residual effects at all." Let's take another example. Take the example in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 13 to 14. It's a story you know. 1 Kings 17, take verse 13 to 14. There was this woman who was so poor, we call her the widow of Zarephath. She was so poor that she had just one meal left for her and her son to eat and die. When we talk about poverty in the real sense of the word, this woman was very, very poor. But then all of a sudden, a servant of God appeared on the scene, and God spoke through the man of God and said, "Thus saith the Lord." You know, each time God speaks, you know it is already done. Said to the woman, "Don't worry, just do what I have told you to do, and you will never lack again." The woman believed, and then God moved. And suddenly she discovered that as she was cooking, as she was taking flour, more flour came. As she was taking oil, more oil came. You can imagine if that woman were to be your neighbor, every morning you saw her, she would be singing. Because last night, she thought that the end has come. But this morning, each time she looked into the pot, there was abundance. And now I'm prophesying to somebody here today. Beginning from this moment onward, before you finish one pay check, another one will arrive in Jesus' name. I've told you the story of my father in the Lord. At least many of you have heard this story. When things were very hard at the very, very beginning, and the Almighty God told him to do something. Tell the wife to prepare a pot of soup. And told her, just keep on dishing from the pot, but don't look inside. You know, that's a very strange commandment. And when God wants to perform miracles, he gives strange commandments. And my mother in the Lord, they told me this story themselves. For days, from one little pot of soup, was dishing stew. Today it will be chicken. Tomorrow it is beef. Next time it is lamb. And it just kept coming. You should just kept her eyes away and kept dishing. I know some of you don't believe that kind of nonsense, but let me tell you the truth. My God is greater than your wisdom. She kept on dishing until she was overcome by curiosity. And she said, what kind of pot is this? And the moment she looked, everything dried up. I prophesy to someone here today that your blessing will never end. I went to visit one of my children. And he said, Daddy, please come. You must come to my house. And when they insist like that, it means they have something they want to boast about. So I said, all right. So I went. And I'm telling you, I have seen houses and I've seen houses. This was a house. And when I got there and he saw the way I was looking, he was saying, this is the first living room. I was saying, And this was, because it was beautiful beyond my expectation. And then he ended by saying, sir, the only thing in this house that was not important is sand. In other words, there was so much money in his hand that he refused to use any of the materials available in Nigeria. He imported everything. And he told me, he said, God gave him one breakthrough. And there's nothing he can do now to stop money from flowing. Now that's a song. I am praying for someone here today that the next time I see you, you will say, Daddy, just thank God for me. There is nothing I can do now to stop money from coming in. If you receive that, let me hear your amen loud and clear. Thank you, Father. The Lord said, the fellow that he's talking to, we understand. He asked me to tell whoever you are, he said, stop worrying, the sun will rise again. The Lord said, there's someone here, he said, you used to be a high flyer. Then something happened that broke your wings. Daddy asked me to tell you, I will repair your wings tonight. And you will fly higher than ever before. Let's take another example of someone who will want to praise God permanently. Let's take the example of the madman of Gadara in Mark chapter 5. When you read Mark chapter 5, you can read the whole story from verse 1 to 20. Bible talks about a man who was mad, absolutely mad. It was so far gone, he was living in the graveyard. I've talked about him again and again, because he was so mad. Madmen called him mad. When madmen see him coming, they run. But he had an encounter with God. One encounter. That's why I asked you to pray that prayer at the beginning. One encounter with the Almighty God. And the madman became completely normal, because all the demons in him were chased out. And then after this happened to him, he came to Jesus. He said, "Wherever you go, I will go with you." The Lord said, "No. Go and sing. Go and sing to your people. Go and tell them what God has done for you." I'm sure everywhere they saw that man, if he knew our choruses, he would probably be singing, "I am delivered, praise the Lord. I am delivered by his word. Once I was bound by the chains of Satan. I am delivered, praise the Lord." Every one of you in any form of yoke or bondage, tonight will be your night of freedom. The Bible tells us that this man went about praising the Almighty God, that a whole country was rallied around to receive Jesus Christ. By the second time he returned, God gave him a garment of praise. And do you know that that man was never mad again? And your own deliverance tonight will be permanent in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, I should tell you, he has taken the keys from those who locked the door against you. He said, now the door will remain perpetually open. When you read John chapter 9, verse 1 to 5, I must say amen to this one before I tell you. I know what, occasionally God says some things that are so beautiful. The Bible says you are to love your neighbor like yourself. So I want to take it first before I tell you. So you can join me, but I want to say amen. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, I am going to prove to you very soon that I am the all-sufficient God. John chapter 9. You can read the story from verse 1 to 7. It's the story of a man who was born blind. This man was born blind. And one day, and he was more than 40 years old, which means he had lived in darkness for more than 40 years. And one day God moved. Jesus just moved in his direction. And then a conversation began. The disciples asked Jesus who sinned, that this man was born blind, his parents or himself. And Jesus said, we're not even talking about sin now. We just want the name of the Lord to be glorified in his life. And I pray for someone here today, that problem you are having will lead to the glory of God. And you know the rest of the story. Jesus spat on the ground, made some mud, put it across his eyes and asked him to go and wash. He went and washed and he came back seeing. Later on, when there was a lot of controversy as to what happened and who healed him, who did not heal him, the blind man said something in John chapter 9 verse 32. John 9 verse 32. He said, since the world began, it's not being said or heard of that a man opened the eyes of a man who was born blind. Since the world began, something this big had never happened. I have good news for someone here today. A kind of miracle that God has never performed before, He will do for you tonight. So that when you leave here and you begin to share your testimony, and people say they don't believe, you will say, I understand. Since the world began, it has never been done before, but God has done it for me. If you believe it is you, let me hear you say amen. That man sang a new song. He's the one who said, whether Jesus is a sinner or not, I don't know. The one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. I can tell you story upon stories of miracles that God performed that people will say, that can't be true. I've told you the story of when I was traveling and we came to a narrow bridge that can only take one vehicle at a time. And we were on the narrow bridge when, what do you call trailer here? Truck. When you know, I'm trying to learn your language. One of these days, your English will be easy for me to swallow. A truck was coming from the other side. We were already on the narrow bridge. There was no room for two vehicles to pass. And there was a very deep river beside over which the bridge was going. And whether the driver of the truck didn't see us, or he applied the brake and the brake didn't catch, I will never find out. All I knew is we were heading for either a head-on collision or to be dropped into the river. And there was no time to pray. But there was enough time to shout a name. Let me hear you shout that name. We shouted, my driver, myself, and when you come face to face with death, brother, sister, you will forget all your degrees. You will not be looking so gentlemanly. When you come face to face with death, you will know how to shout. Let me hear you shout Jesus again. Jesus! I shouted, my driver shouted. And one way or the other, we met in the middle of the river of the bridge and we passed. We got to the other side of the bridge. My driver parked. I have told you the story before, some of you. And he was shaking. He was shaking so badly he couldn't continue to drive, so he parked. Fortunately, he didn't look back because I was shaking like himself too or more. Finally, I got my own composure before he himself. When finally he was able to calm down, he said, Daddy, what happened? I said, God expanded the bridge. He said, wonderful. I said, that is his name. His name shall be called Wonderful. In your life, the kind of miracle people will not even believe, God will do it for you tonight in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Father. The Lord wants me to tell another story, because he says it's going to help someone receive his or her miracle. There's something in the human blood, I don't know the scientific name now, that they say for normal, it should be either between 1 and 5 or so. When it's beginning to get to about 9, they say they query cancer. By the time it gets to about 100, they say there's very little hope. And then there was this son of mine. All of a sudden, the pain just began. And he said, what kind of pain is this? And he himself happened to be a medical doctor. Anyway, they took him to the hospital. And when they checked this thing that is supposed to be about 5 for normal, when they checked his own, it read 4,000. To start with, the doctor said, it's not possible. It's not possible that this man will still be alive. But well, he's here. And they have a room where they put hopeless cases. So they put him in the room just to stay with others who are hopeless cases like that. Since they can't just reject you. I mean, it's in the United Kingdom. So they left him there. And as God will have it, I was visiting that town that weekend. They've kept him there for 3 days, just waiting for him to die. Because they told him that even if he moved at all, the thing was so bad that his bones could break just by walking. And somebody says, your son is in this hospital, will you please come and pray? I said, of course. And I went in there and I prayed for him. Now, if you know where I'm talking about, you don't just go to the hospital and begin to pray for anybody. You have to get permission before you pray for the sick, because many of the people in the hospital don't even believe in your God. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I prayed for him on Saturday. By Monday, the doctors came to check, and they found that there was not a trace of cancer left in his body. And the doctor said, this cannot be. I have good news for whoever God asked me to tell you this story for. It doesn't matter what the doctor's report may say. The Almighty God will give you a breakthrough tonight. But do you know the beauty of the story? Because we went into that place to pray. The day they were discharging my son, they discharged all the others also. Because God healed them all. I pray for everyone here tonight with any form of ailment. You will not go out with it in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Father. Again, I want to say amen to this one. The Lord said there's someone here, and I want you to write this one down. Because when you are testifying in future, you will remember tonight. He said, your blessings will begin like a river and continue to increase until it becomes like an ocean. If you believe it's you, please put it down, because it's coming. He said, your blessings will begin like a river and it will continue to increase till it becomes like an ocean. One day, you will stand on this platform and give that testimony. And it will not be long in Jesus' name. Now, just one more case. Oh, thank you, my Father. I know this one is for me, no doubt about that. So I say amen. The Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said, from this moment onward, my anointing will flow in your life like a mighty river. I just want to take one more example of what could happen that can cause someone to say, forever, I will praise God. And the story is found in 2 Kings chapter 7. You can read it from verse 1 to 11. 2 Kings 7, verse 1 to 11. The Bible tells us that some kings decided to lay a siege on a city of Israel. Things got so bad that women began to eat their children. And then God spoke. I thank God for speaking to someone here tonight. God spoke and said through his servant, he said, within 24 hours, food will be so plenty, nobody will want to buy. You know the rest of the story. After God spoke, There was somebody who didn't believe, and God said, well, you will see it, you won't eat part of it. That's why I'm happy that the people who are here today are people of faith. Because occasionally when God speaks like this, there are people who will doubt and say, how can this thing be? Please, if you have any doubt concerning everything that God had already said, don't say it out. Because if you say it out, God will make sure you see it, but he will make sure you don't partake. So just keep your doubts to yourself. And so in this case, the man of God spoke, and there was this Lord who thinks he's too clever for God. Say, how can this thing be? God said, well, you see it, you won't eat. And then God moved after he spoke. He got four lepers to begin to shuffle towards the camp of the enemy. And as they were shuffling along, the Almighty God amplified the sound of their feet. And the enemy heard a sound, and they fled. In the name that's above every other name, all your enemies will hear a sound tonight. All those who have been laying a siege to you, laying a siege to your family, laying a siege to your finances, they will hear a sound tonight in Jesus' name. They heard the sound and they fled. And by the time the lepers got to the camp of the Syrians, they found that they were gone. They left plenty of food, plenty of money, plenty of raiment. And they ate, they took some money and put it in fixed deposit. And then suddenly they said, it is time to sing. He said, this is a day of good news. We can't keep quiet anymore. And you can listen to them when they got to the gate of the city. What was it they were saying? They were saying, the siege is over. In the name that's above every other name, even if you don't remember anything, take this from the Almighty God, that in your life, the siege is over. The siege against your marriage is over. The siege against your progress is over. The siege against your joy is over. The siege against your prosperity is over. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. When God gives you a garment of praise, there's only one thing that can take that garment from you. And that thing is sin. If God gives you a garment of praise, even the devil can't take it off you. The devil knows that whatever is of God shall be permanent. He knows that. But he also knows that if he can get you to sin, then God himself will take away the garment. In John chapter 5 verse 14, John 5 verse 14, Jesus Christ met the man who had been sick for 38 years in the temple, where he was singing and dancing and praising God, and said, sir, you'll be made whole. You are wearing a garment of praise now, but go and sin no more, or else something worse will happen unto you. Brethren, people wonder, sir, why are you always talking about holiness? It's because of these secrets that I know. The only thing that can take the garment of praise away from you is sin. Many of you have already received garments of praise now. You want to go home singing, you want to go home rejoicing, because by the special grace of God, this is a night you are not going to forget for the rest of your life. But I'm appealing to you, in the name that's above every other name, go from here and sing no more. Say it loud. Let me hear you say it. Say it one more time. Then the question comes, what about those who are still in sin, those who have not even surrendered their life to Jesus Christ? Can they wear this garment of praise? The Almighty God is holding the garment, ready to release it. But he's saying to you, since you came, I know you are still a sinner, but if you come and receive Jesus now, his blood will wash away your sins and the garment will be given unto you. That is why when I ask people who have not yet committed their life to Jesus Christ to come and do so, and you hesitate, you don't know what you are missing. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are not doing anybody any good except yourself. When you surrender to him, it is you who will be rejoicing for the rest of your life. You know what? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. How many things become new? All things. So I am going to count from 1 to 10. Anyone out there, you may be the only one person. You might be the one that God has been talking to since the beginning of my sermon. If you are out there and you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, come and do so now. He will save your soul. He will wash away your sins. Everything will become new for you, and you will go home wearing a garment of praise. If you say, oh, I'm already born again, but you are still living in sin, you are deceiving yourself. Come and give your life to Jesus. Let him save your soul, and everything will become new. Keep coming. And now those of us who are already in front, let's begin to talk to the Almighty God. Let's call on him and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Save my soul. Forgive all my sins. Let your blood wash me clean today, and I will serve you for the rest of my life. Just keep on praying. Glory be to God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Eternal Rock of Ages, we bless your name. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for these people that have come forward to surrender their lives to you. I pray, my Father and my God, that you will receive each and every one of them in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord God Almighty, that your blood that cleanses from all sins will wash them clean now in Jesus' name. I pray that you will save their souls and you will write their names in the book of life in Jesus' name. And I pray that they will never go back into the world in Jesus' name. All the backsliders among them that we have restored today, keep them permanently restored in Jesus' name. And I pray that from now on, anytime they call on you, you will answer them by fire in Jesus' name. Thank you, my Father and my God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.
You're watching Redemption Way.
There is a Redeemed Christian Church of God very close to you. Join them for a life-changing experience in worship. Please join us on this same station at this time next week for another wonderful experience as Pastor E.A. Adeboye exposes the deep mysteries in the Word of God.